What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, friends. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to your weekly dose of What Fulfills You. For today's episode, I sit down and chat with a lovely and inspiring guest. He is young. He's only 19. And I have to give a quick backstory before I dive into his actual bio. But Timofey, which is, I guess, how you say it in Russian. Tim and I met in Miami. I want to say January 2023 or February, I believe. This was probably around my birthday when I went to Miami last year. And we were at Versace Mansion, which is a restaurant in Miami. And I was waiting, I think, for, you know, whoever I was with. I think it was my brother and his girlfriend. And just waiting for everyone to finish up before we were leaving the restaurant. And next thing you know, I see Tim shooting around with a Fujifilm. And I also shoot content with a Fujifilm, and he's more of an actual photographer, whereas I'm more of a lifestyle photographer and creator. And I'm like, oh, wow, are you shooting with a Fujifilm X-T4? And he's like, yeah. And then we just ended up getting into conversation for like a few minutes and then exchanged Instagrams and have kept in touch through Instagram since then. And then fast forward a little more than a year, we finally connect again in person. He was in New York City, and then we also planned to do a photo shoot together, which was just so fun because he's very natural at what he does, and you could tell that he does photography in a very similar way that I like to shoot, whether I'm behind the camera or in front of the camera, which is very documenting and candid moments and very on the go versus trying to get a perfect shot. I've always believed as a content creator, you know, if I can't have the shot that I'm looking for after, you know, a few tries, it's time to move on. It's just not going to work. And even for me as a creator, I get a little bit of anxiety if I try too hard to get the shot, you know? And so anyways, that's kind of the backstory with how Tim and I met, which is very on brand to me, always meeting people in the most random ways. I always go up to people, introduce myself, and that's something I'm always encouraging you guys to do. So you never know where that leads you, because that, in this case, led to Tim and I having this conversation. But a little bit more on his unique background. Timofey Abel is originally from Moscow, Russia. He immigrated to the U.S. with his parents and twin sister at the age of 7. He spent most of his childhood and teen years traveling the world, having visited over 35 countries before graduating high school. Keep in mind, he is only 19. The culture of art was instilled upon him from a very young age, and paired with his view of the world and independent mindset, Tim pursued photography as a means to express his perspective. He documented the places and people he would see during his travels on his film camera, and later he began working with modeling agencies, strongly resonating with the artistic and experimental culture of the late 20th century. Tim began joining forces with fellow artists in creating memorable images. Transitioning from street to portrait photography was a way for Tim to connect with others and introduce his unique approach to visual storytelling, embracing the uniqueness and potential of each individual. Timofey is officially relocating to Atlanta in May of 2024, and his, quote, The Middle East exhibition will take place in November and December, and he's currently represented in New York City by only one talent. That being said, this conversation is really awesome, and please welcome Tim to the podcast.
Well, officially, Tim, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for coming here. I know I have to give the audience a little backstory. We met, I actually was going through my calendar and was looking at when did we actually meet in Miami, and it was technically last January. Last January or February, when it was which restaurant it was, like, was it Versace? And so my listeners and anyone who follows me knows I'm very notorious for meeting people in the most random way. I've met so many friends or guys I've dated just through literally at coffee coming shops or on the street. Yeah, just super random things. And all my friends will always be you have interesting stories to tell all the time. You met this person here. I met my boyfriend. We met randomly in Medellin, Colombia. When I was there, I went on a one-way ticket trip, and we met through a mutual friend, and we're actually from the same hometown in Pennsylvania.
That's
insane. So it's super insane because everyone's where did how does this all happen? It's dude, I just say yes very often, and I just go for it. But that's kind of what happened with you. I think I was waiting for my brother to finish at the bathroom so we could leave, and then I think I saw you shooting around with your camera. And I was like, are you shooting with a Fujifilm X-T4? And you're like, yeah. And I'm like, I have one too.
I was so excited too, because I was just kind of I just got that camera and I was really experimenting. And I don't know.
Me too. At that point, I had just gotten it. I think I got it gifted for Christmas because it was my number one on my Christmas list. I've been wanting this camera for a long time.
It's so good. It's so easy to use.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Okay. I mean, I was going to ask this later, but I feel because we brought it up. Why, for you, do you like to shoot with Fujifilm? This is such a photographer-specific question.
I love this because I can actually use this, too, on my Instagram. Cause I low-key, before, I'm, this way with anything. If I buy anything, I do so much research, clothes, shoes. And, even before buying a camera, it's not even that of an expensive camera, but I did, a year of research, everything. And I love Fujifilm because I shot with film my whole life, the past couple years. And I wanted a camera, for me, taking pictures is such just, an experience of connecting with the person in front of me. It's just, I honestly really don't care about gear. I feel if I can take a good, you can take a good picture with pretty much anything. So I just wanted a camera that was easy to use, and, I wouldn't have to think about any technical, details. So even right now, I have a couple of presets that I like black and white presets. And in a moment while I'm taking pictures, I don't want to think about, even exposure and stuff. I often honestly have this even thing that I see with photographers. They talk so much about the gear and stuff, but they don't even talk about the actual experience of taking pictures or just the inspiration behind it.
Yes.
So yeah, I kind of wanted to stray as far from that, from having to obsess over technical difficulties, and just wanted a simple camera that, I could use and focus more on the actual being present during the actual shoot. Yeah.
I'm the same way. I feel obviously, I don't do photography for a living or even really on a project basis, but I shoot, I think, as a content creator, and I specifically use a Fujifilm. And I feel compared to my partner who does a lot of camera gear and uses it for content and video and for his courses, things that he films. Interestingly, no shade, I mean, love him to death, but it is very, I think his process and a lot of people kind of in his industry is a little bit more logical about, even when I give him my camera, he tries to kind of tell me it's doing this because of this. And I'm you do know more about cameras than I do, but I promise I shoot with my camera all the time. And I know, like, in order to get it to focus this way, you have to, like, hold this.
You know
what I mean?
And there's a that's, like, the magic to it. I feel like
we're less technical and we're more, like, very candid.
And sometimes, like, of course, it's, like, important to know technical things, but I feel like once you even just, like, know, like, the basics and, you know, you learn as you go, too, I think it's so much more important to just focus on, like, what's actually going on in front of you. And that's why, that's why I think Fujifilm, like, I love Fujifilm. I think I'm always going to use Fujifilm. It's so easy to use, and I like how it even looks like a film camera, you
know? For sure. So. Everyone always, like, strangers on the subway or people who are into arts here in New York, it's pretty common, right? They always look at my camera, and they're like, wow, like, is that a film camera? And they're always, like, fascinated with it because it looks so nice and, you know, shoots well. But, I love how we shot. Obviously, I'm super excited for you guys to see the photos. It'll be on our Instagrams. Yeah. But it was just so candid, raw. I feel like very much tells a story. I mean, I think the story starts with us meeting in Miami and then, like, leading to these photos. But I feel like the fun part with shooting with you was the fact that we both were very aligned on just, like, in the moment. I'm crossing the street and, like, you know, I'm holding a cigarette and you're like, oh, wait, right here.
I
love that. It's just,
I love,
like,
that. Yeah.
It's so unplanned. And for me, I will say, because I'm in, like, the crossroads of business and the creative world, when I work with business related people, they're always trying to be like, okay, I want to get shots here, and then I want to get shots here. And they take, like, 30 minutes for the shot on the same street.
Yeah, for something to work.
Yeah. And, like, for us, we were just naturally like, look at all these, like, 10 shots that we got just in, like, that five. We were holding traffic, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I just love that that's the raw creative process and not, like, a logical way of thinking of that doesn't look good enough. You know, it's interesting. Like, I'm curious for you as a photographer and creative, did you have to learn to accept these, like, raw imperfect moments, or do you feel like that kind of was natural to you?
That's a really good question. I was going to say, like, you say you're not a photographer, but like, you are, like, you are, and you're a really good photographer. I feel like you do, like content creation. Like, you do, like, the business side really well too, but even like content creating, like, you recognize that. So, like, yeah, you are a photographer and you're a really good photographer. But I was going to say, regarding that, I feel like I started with, like, documentary and street photography.
Okay.
And that's what I was most drawn to. And, like, the storytelling part of it, like, my dream was to work for, like, National Geographic and to go to, like, you know, some remote parts of the world and just, like, capture, like, scenes and moments and, like, a different life. And I think that I got into portraiture, like, a couple years ago, just, like, in 80s and 90s, like, being inspired by that.
Like
the whole area, but the whole era, but also, like, the imperfection behind everything and how all that was coming to life. So I think with, like, with us too, like, if you notice, and, like, with any portrait photography that I do, is that my approach is so, like, documentary to it. In a way, it's like, I'm not really trying to create a moment, I'm just like finding it and then capturing it in a way. Because I feel like you can spend so much time trying to create it and you start to focus on the technical parts of it instead of just, like, life is happening around us 24/7, you know, and people are happening to us 24/7. Yesterday, like, you were happening and we were happening, and I'm just there to see what you're doing in the moment. And then kind of my job is to translate it, you know, in photos. So I guess that's the way behind it. And I was also going to say, like, I also thought about this. I feel like such an important part is also being, like, not serious about it. Like, I feel like it's so easy to get carried away. But, like, when you're a creative person and you're trying to make it in business, like, of course you're trying to make it, you know, business-wise. But, like, I feel like it's so important to not, like, that, like, creative part and, like, unseriousness, you know, like, get away from you. Because, like, it's fun and it should be fun. You know what I mean? Like, even yesterday, I'm not scared to, like, be vulnerable or, like, I even, like, whenever, like, I meet up with a model, I make fun of myself 24/7 because I want to show that it's, like, comfortable. This is not serious. Like, you know what I mean? But, you know, still do good work. So I feel like that's also a part of, like, behind it, is, like, being unserious, not taking yourself too seriously.
It's funny because I feel like in the influencer space and content creator space online, a lot of people, I feel like the what's actually the obstacle is the fact that they do take it too seriously. I don't know if you kind of feel that. I don't know how much you even come across, like, that space versus the actual, like, artists and creatives and models. But I mean, that's why I don't know. And I wanted to actually really initially start with this too. But for me, I love photography that is shot in, like, Berlin, Paris, London, all these cities in Europe. And there is definitely a more raw creativeness to it. I'm not really describing it in the best way, yeah, but that's kind of how I would describe it. Like, what's that brand? Starts with an L, Leica?
Yeah, Leica cameras.
Yeah, Leica. Yeah. Like, isn't that from Berlin?
Yeah, they're like German-based. Or like German-based.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, I just feel like that world really knows and really heavily appreciates the art.
The art behind it, yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more in the U.S.,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if that's.
I say bias. I agree with you 100%, and I feel like the reason I feel like in general, like the U.S. is kind of like where you make it. I would say, like, you know what I mean. Like everybody wants to be here because, you know, there's like more money here. There's companies here, and I feel like when you're a creative here in the States, like even what I've noticed is that you are trying to make it business wise, and I feel like that's why you get carried away with like trying to, you know, get popular on Instagram. And like, I mean, like even like my friend like Logan who does hair, like he's an amazing hairstylist, and like. Me and him, like, for the past year, we've been trying to, like, create content and, like, get ourselves out there. And, like, I've definitely faced that, like, too, of just staying raw and, like, also somewhat, like, mysterious just because, like, I enjoy, you know, not being completely, like, showing myself out there. And I, like, I like for my work to also speak for itself. Like, I feel like a part as to why I do photography is that I'm not writing books about myself. Like, I take pictures and then I want people to understand me through pictures, you know what I mean? And I guess sometimes I have to like deal with the fact that like, okay, now I have to not just take pictures. I have to also put myself completely out there and explain them. And I feel like that's what I love about like, you know, photography and the culture of like just being creative back in the day is that I feel like you were allowed to like not explain yourself completely. And that was attractive. Like people liked you because you're mysterious, but now it's like, who are you completely? And then maybe we'll like you, maybe we won't, you know what I mean? I feel like that's how I feel like I have to be on Instagram. So I'm definitely still like completely trying to understand that part.
I want to backtrack it a little bit because obviously your background, you were born and raised in Moscow, Russia, and you immigrated to the US, and you've also been to over 35 countries before 18, basically, or before 17. And I am sure, obviously, because I've traveled a lot too, that has impacted your perspective of life and the world and also even probably how you shoot photos. I'm curious, like, because you obviously went through an unconventional path and we, you know, I'll dive into this like in the intro, but just how you ended up not continuing traditional high school since ninth grade. You were homeschooled, right?
Yeah, I was homeschooled.
And then you are 19 right now. You aren't in college, and rather, are you working full-time or is it part-time at the
software? I say full-time, I do work full-time, but it's mostly part-time just because it's online. And I kind of worked my way up to being like a manager in a way, so I kind of get to control my schedule a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I just got really lucky. I mean, not lucky. I used to translate for my dad.
Yeah.
Russian and English. And there was a company, a software company. It's based in Russia. And they found me through my dad. And they needed a person who could talk to their American clients, you know, in English, but also then refer back to them in Russian.
Yeah.
So I just started translating for them. And then I kind of, for the past like 2 years, I kind of worked my way up to being like a project manager. So just that is kind of keeping me afloat again. And of course, like, I mean, creatively, it's hard to make money. Like, I feel like anyone can attest to that unless you're like really making it. So, I can't say like photography is my full time job. I mean, I wish it would be like.
Well, I mean, first off, you're only 19.
Yeah. So it's like I'm still like.
You're still super young, but a little bit of a tangent on photography. What do you feel like are some of the key awarenesses you have as an immigrant that you've observed other peers your age in the U.S. don't have as much? And maybe it's because they were born and raised here and or because they haven't seen different parts of the world as much as you have. And I ask that just because I promote a lot of being open-minded and aware. I think a lot of social media makes you see things in a black and white way. I grew up in a small hometown of 8,000 people. They certainly were one way thinking, and I think it was I was very lucky to have gone to college in California, lived out in Los Angeles for 6-7 years, and lived in New York, and I've also been to South America, I've been to Europe, you know.
Very wide perspective.
And it, my favorite thing is like going to countries where I don't like my like English is not their first language, and you are put in your place. I actually love
that. You have no power here.
And I think personally, I have to say, like, I do think that's one thing that as Americans, for, I'll say this, when I was, I think right after I graduated college, I went to Europe, was humbled in Germany.
I cannot, yeah. Yeah. Germans will do that to you. Yeah.
They
yeah.
will do that to you. And I came back with a strong respect and appreciation for people who are here, who immigrated here, and English is their second mm-hmm. language, and they speak with broken English. And I feel like that was one of the major differences I saw with me and other people who have not been in those positions, like me at a bakery in Hamburg, Germany, and mm-hmm. I order something in English because I thought they could speak English. In most places yeah. they could, but that one place they couldn't. And the guy behind me obviously speaks English, is fluent mm-hmm. in German, and he's ordered it on my behalf. Oh, sweet, and I'm yeah. like, great.
Yeah, yeah, like, but yeah, like that fact of like having to like rely on other people. Yeah, sometimes,
and
yeah.
just like there's so many intricacies, but like I'm sure you definitely have seen mm-hmm. more than I have. Like, what's your perspective? Because a lot mm-hmm. of the things you've done beyond just being born and raised in a different yeah. country is very unconventional. Mm-hmm.
I would say that's a really good question. There's like so much to it, I would yeah. say. Yeah. And I was actually first, I was going to go like the route of saying that, you know, I feel like having like been to so many places, like having to be independent in so many places and having to like find myself through that. I feel like number one, what happened to me at a young age, what I feel like is that I had to like kind of go into myself. Mm. Like, I feel like the culture of America here, a lot of it is very like outwardly and trying to yeah. find answers somewhere out and about in a mm-hmm. way. And I even like, you know, a lot of young people, I see that they, you know, like they have bad habits, and I feel like a lot of it is like, I mean, now I feel like the culture is definitely becoming better in terms of like self-work, mm-hmm. but I feel like for me, like even when I was like literally like 9 years old, I had to do that because I feel like I was like thrown like, you know, everywhere in the world. I had no stability, so I had to find stability myself. So I mm-hmm. guess like even now, like being out of the house 19 years old, I feel like I do have like an inner sense of stability, and like I don't have a longing for anything
external.
Yeah, external in a way. Yeah, yeah. Even yeah. like, and even I feel like creative things too, I'm not really of course I'm trying to make it, but I don't have a sense that if I don't make it, I won't succeed. I think mm-hmm. success is, you know, just being happy and content. And I feel like right. to be happy and content, you know, you don't need really a lot of external factors.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I guess with on that question, I just feel like I have met so many like amazing people here in the States. I mean, like yeah. even you're born here. So I can't really say there's a big difference. I think the biggest difference is just if you're raised unconventionally.
Yeah.
And if you do feel like you don't belong,
yeah.
you have this need to kind of belong somewhere, create your own space. Mm. So I feel like even you're from Pennsylvania, I'm from Moscow, like Logan, he's from Mississippi, but mm-hmm. because we all felt like we were like, we didn't belong, or like we had an unconventional thing, we have a need to create something of our own. Yeah, I would say America though does have a tendency to focus more on like the business side of things, and
right,
I feel
right.
like just because you can succeed in America really well, you can make money in America really well.
Right, and I was yeah. gonna say it is a capitalist forward country.
Yeah,
which, you know, to be fair, I'm very pro that. I do think there's a lot of benefits. I mean, look, oh, yeah. Soviet Union. There's a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what I mean, you're from. There's a reason why. China, for example, and this is so such a tangent, but it's just like,
it's true,
you yeah. do need a private market,
yeah.
right? In order for, if you're going to do a dictator route, like it falls,
yeah, yeah,
it fails 100%. For XYZ reasons. But, you know, I think it's like, I've always, again, appreciated the sweet spot of art
yeah.
and business.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, to be able to monetize something and actually make a living out of it, because that is realistic in this world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also to not give up
the sense of,
yeah, like,
and also like the reason as to why you're doing it, you know,
yeah,
you don't need, because I yeah. feel like that's the thing, like it's so easy to like get successful and then like have all these external factors saying like, you're, people saying you're amazing, you know, people, you know, you're making money and stuff. Mm-hmm. Are you still doing this for the same reason when you weren't having all these things? Like,
right.
And I feel like even now, like I'm realizing, like I love photography, but back when I was 15 years old and I was living with my parents, I had nothing. I loved it because I just felt like I knew what I was doing. I wanted to create something.
Yes.
And I never want to come to a place where like I'm making something just because
yes.
it's for any other reason. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So I yeah. guess like true success for an artist would be is just doing exactly what you want to do the way that you're doing it, but also make money on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a hard route to take.
It is yeah, hard, right? So. But it's interesting because when you said that, like how you were 15 and you were doing mm-hmm. that, it makes me think of us as kids. And we're exploring what we naturally like mm-hmm. to do. And then the risk takers continue to do that in their adult life.
That's
right?
A really good,
you know what I mean,
saying that. Yeah,
I went to college, I went a bit of the conventional route in mm-hmm. that sense, and I've had the ability to see a lot of friends mm-hmm. do that as well and then continue the adult conventional route. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think your approach as a photographer, like, I see, like, just like, it's like very kid-like.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I that's think that's though, the best. I think that's the best part as creatives, and I'm sure you can share a little bit on your creative process too, like when you're reaching out to models or agencies mm-hmm. or people to work with, right? Like, it's very collaborative and fun. Like, when we were kids, we're like, hey, do you want to go play?
Yeah.
Like, hey,
and
do you want
to... it's fearless. Yeah. Yes. I think that's what... And, like, I don't... Not to interrupt
no,
you, but,
no,
like,
yeah.
not comparing myself to this person in any way, shape, or form, but Richard Avedon, he's, like, an iconic photographer. Like, many would say he's the best photographer of all time. I just love, like, watching interviews. That's, like, pretty much all I do in my spare time. Like instead of like reading books, because I don't really have the time, I just love to watch interviews. But even people that talk about working with Richard Avedon, who at his time was the greatest fashion photographer of all time, they say that you think that you're gonna walk into like this, like, you know, I'm so mighty, but you're working with him and he's like literally a kid jumping around taking pictures, and you know, most of his photographs are like iconic photographs from the 20th century. But all the models that have worked with him, all the people say that, like, when you're actually working with him, he's just like a little kid dancing around. And I feel like that's amazing though. Like, that is true success. Like, you know, being successful in what you do, but like finding that joy in it. And like, I feel like, again, like, I feel like my approach is so unserious. It's easy. Like, I'm really young and I feel like I do have to stay like professional, but at the same time, like, I'm not acting like unprofessional or like unserious because I don't know how to act professional or serious.
Yeah.
I do it because that's what I want to do. Because, like, there's no point in me in creating something if I'm not doing it in, like, a lighthearted, you know, nice way.
And I think about that when we are in, or when I see people going to their conventional jobs, especially the ones that feel unfulfilled, you know, it's often because they are so stiff and adult-like in that process, whereas there are many jobs, even in the fashion world or even in finance, where people, like, it's like a game, you know, how boys grow up playing video games, right? It's like some people love finance or trading the same way that they love video games. It's the same, like, child light up.
You
know,
and they love that. Like, for me, finance is like serious, but if they love it, like, that's amazing for them. I was gonna say, like, I feel like even in like anything in life and like relationships and like even in how you view yourself, there's a beauty to that, you know what I mean, to taking yourself not too seriously in a way, because I feel like the world is going to continue to try to put a label on things in a way, a label as to how you're supposed to do things, how you're supposed to make money, how you're supposed to be in a relationship, how, you know, I feel like you're always going to put a label on it, when in real life, like, what makes us happy is to just, you know, in a way, like, and it sounds cringe, but just to exist.
I find that a lot of my listeners are in their 20s. And personally, I don't think that is too late to tap back into something that is kid-like for them. But I think the biggest advantage anyone can have is to, as early as possible, pick up whatever it is that they actually enjoy. And at the very least, have it on the side, similar to kind of what you, I mean, for you it's like on the side, but also you're 19 and it's like you're working like, you know, a part-time full-time job, and then you're also doing this as well, whereas I think someone that's 23-24 working a full-time job, like, for them that's actually like legitimately picking something up on the side. But I think that's like the biggest advantage is if you can do it earlier than later, like doing it at 24 versus 30 gives you that window of you know, even error, really, if you know, the trial and error, the area of life where you might have less money to spend, right, on like going out to eat or whatever, you can utilize on trying to build up something you enjoy. And I'm not going to even word it like, oh, it's like build up your passion or whatever, right? But like picking up something that you've always had curiosity on. I think we all have something as kids. For you, it sounds like it was always more or less around photography or like film or like kind of in that realm. And I think what I've seen a lot today, which is actually part of why I started this podcast, is a lot of people, especially once they go to college, they completely forget to continue to explore
that
kid-like side of them. And it's usually these hobbies and activities that we did as children. It just like lit us up and we got excited about it. And it's just a matter of, I think, like sitting with yourself and thinking about like, oh, how could that translate to adult life today?
Exactly.
You know,
that's a really good way to of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah. And and even if someone's listening and then they wanted to pursue photography, you could actually be legitimately like a part-time photographer.
Yeah.
Freelance photographer. Mm. You could do certain shoots like product photography, lifestyle photography. You make a couple hundred bucks a week like doing that. That's like still really awesome. And I think the issue is a lot of people don't take that initiative to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Like, you took the initiative to reach out to me about the podcast, about being in New York, doing a shoot together and things like that. And I think that is why you're able to continue to go in this direction. You know, it's a lot of people come up to me, and I say this from a lens of people are always like, Emily, how do you get into it? Or like, how do you start? Right. And like, you're sitting here as you share too. It's like, there's no really how to start.
Yeah. There's not like a begin.
You just do. Like, you just pick up the camera and you start.
It's like, even like,
whatever it is.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
And I would say to regarding that, like what we were saying earlier regarding like picking up something, I feel like the biggest thing is just like you have to find inspiration and you have to like craft your vision as you go along. And I feel like a really big part is just like, honestly, you have to be inspired. So I would say that like pick up something, but like do as much research as you can and then find inspiration and then like dig into that even more. Like I loved like, I've watched so many of the documentaries, like Peter Lindbergh, Garland, 90s supermodels, like rewatching the tapes, rewatching like all the interviews that like, I remember I told you about the podcast with this photographer, Nick Knight. He has like, not a podcast, it's like a series, it's called Subjective, where he interviews like models and makeup artists and hairstylists. Like I can listen to that for hours, and it's just like finding like that inspiration, then kind of trying to make like your own story in a way, like outside of it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I guess like I would say that's the biggest like thing too. Like I think 50% of it is just like being inspired completely by other people, falling in love with their vision, and then saying like, oh, like let me be like that, but what can I do that will make me stand out? And then what makes you stand out is what you find out during the journey of doing this. So even right now I'm trying to find what's gonna make me stand out, because you know I mean, I still feel like I fall back on tendencies to like yesterday I did a shoot with a model, like how do I make this look like Peter Lindbergh, and it looks great, but like what can I add to it? Like what can I do to make it more like myself in a way?
I feel like that's around self-doubt and a lot of like overcoming, okay, am I confident enough to even do this, or like building confidence in the process. I think a lot of people in any industry, whether it's in arts or business or in their career or in going up to the guy that they think is cute, like all these different aspects, I think comes back to self-doubt, fearlessness, and confidence.
Right? Exactly.
We touched on fearlessness a little bit, but how have you observed yourself overcoming that over the years?
That's actually a really good question, because I was about to say is that like I feel like the secret is to like completely embracing it and loving it about yourself. You have to embrace the fact that you're vulnerable, that you don't feel confident right now, and I feel like once you do and like you say like these feelings are okay, then you feel better about it. Like if you're like scared up, you know, to walk up to like the girl or the guy, then you say like, you know, like I am, and like it's okay, and you know, I mean, even if they see it, it's okay. Like right now I'm nervous and it's me. Like there's a really good quote by Angelina Jolie when they asked her like, you know, how do you like go through like this hardship or something. She's like, go like right through it. And like I agree with that. I feel like we try to like find a healthy way of looking at our own feelings and our thoughts, and I think like one of the best things we can do is just to actually feel them through and understand where they're coming from, but admit that they're okay for them to happen. Even with photography, when I was first starting out, like I knew I wasn't doing what I was doing. I knew there was some things that I was doing wrong, but like I found beauty in that. I was like, this is cool. It's cool that like I don't know what I'm doing. It's cool because I know that 10 years later I'm gonna talk about this and say like, yeah, I didn't know what I was doing, and there's it was fun, and there's some things that went wrong, you know what I mean? Like even now, like, being nervous to speak, I feel like in the end you have to have like a sense of self stability and like a self love, honestly. And I feel like if you have like a self love, then you don't have like a, you don't have a feeling like anything you say is going to be wrong, you know what I mean? Because even if it is, like, you know, you'll learn, and you, over time, you're going to learn how to be professional. Over time, you're going to find something that makes you happy. But, you know what I mean? Like, finding that inner, like, sense of, like, you know what? Like, no matter what happens in this world, no matter if, like, I end up, like, with him or her, no matter if I, like, come up and I embarrass myself, like, in the end, I'm going to, like, come home, I'm going to sit on the couch, and, like, I'm going to feel like I still have myself.
And you mentioned self-stability and kind of, like, that inner peace part, like, developing that when you were younger. How have you, I don't know if you were like even aware or conscious about that when you were that young, or at least over the past few years, but what are some things that you've noticed you do to yourself and for yourself to create that peace?
It's, I think the number one thing that I see myself doing, and like even recently I like kind of had a really like, not even like a mental, like not like before like leaving South Carolina, I was kind of feeling like a little like just weird, you know, into a weird headspace sometimes, just like, you know, planning this trip. I had a lot of collaborations. I was very like anxious about it. I noticed that I do this in photography, is that I look at like, well, like, growing up as a kid, I feel like I grew up on couches, like I never, or like on floors, like, yeah, like my family, even when we didn't have a lot of money, I would always, and even if there was an extra bed, my sister would take it. So I was always kind of like the one that would like take like the couch. And I did it because out of my own self-will. Even when we were in Georgia, I slept on the couch for like half a year, and I was 16, I was going through depression, but like my dad would always be like in the room, like working, and like, I felt like I had no space. So like my space was just like being like under the covers, or like, and I would like look at, like, you know, and it would just be like finding like a little moment of like peace. And I would always like phase out and like look at little objects or something that would make me like, and I would focus on like some other world or like imagine things. So I feel like even now, like if I'm walking, like I love to like walk in nature. It sounds cringy, but it's true. Like I love just looking at just like little worlds happening, like even like a stream, and really like paying attention to everything that's going on, like the wind swaying, you know, like it sounds cringy, but it's it's genuinely how I think, like even in the car, like if I'm going through, like I look at like a single like piece of like flower, and like, you know, just like really like take yourself and like completely isolate yourself from everything and just like focus on that one thing, because there's a whole life in there. And with photography too, that's what I look for in any photo shoot. I come home and I always look for like that one picture where like I felt like something was there that wasn't planned, and it was just kind of like, it's just there, it's like its own like isolated piece of the world, you know what I mean? And I guess that's what I go for, and like that's how I find like inner peace. So it'd always be just like a very 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 initiated focus onto something very precise. And I feel like that's how I would find my inner peace.
It's fascinating that you share that, because as you know, I grew up training and figure skating, and I had lovely coaches from Soviet Union. But one thing that I really learned from training with in such an environment is the beauty of discipline and focus that I think enabled me to like be able to sit here and do a podcast and do the things that I do today, all because of that muscle being reiterated day after day from 6 years old through 18, right? Of like focus. I remember one thing when, as a kid, right, I'm having anxiety to go into compete or something. I didn't feel like I was ready. And I think I was taught to like, if like, I would squeeze my hand like, while I'm on ice, and then like focus on what it feels like, how like super small things. So I do think there's actual psychological like proof to like what you're doing in that sense, where it narrows our brain down from the noise that we all get distracted by, our phones, social media and everything. And we're like, God, I don't know what to do. I feel so scatterbrained. And I was always taught to like bring it back to like a very, very slim focus. I feel like for me, while it helped, I mean, it's very helpful in sports and being able to be direction oriented, but it also helps with like, I think like feeling secure with oneself, because you really become self-aware of who you are like inside, like in between the ears, you know what I mean? And I think that's very important to have as an artist, as an entrepreneur, or anyone doing something on their own. But I think that's, I think it kind of sounds like both of us, we navigated bits of anxiety or bits of, you know,
not even bits.
We just navigated the tough moments by narrowing down focus. And then small times too, like actually getting outside of ourselves, mm-hmm. because I think sometimes anxiety comes from being too inside our head.
Yeah, exactly.
We're so focused on this is happening to me, or why is this happening mm-hmm. to me, or why am I feeling so stressed, or why am I feeling like I'm not getting the shots today, mm-hmm. right? Because we're so focused on us.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when we just actually focus on outside of us,
yeah,
like
exactly.
the day we were shooting,
yeah,
the wind was very excessive.
That's what I love, yeah,
right? But
yeah.
then it's also like, oh, the beauty of how like the hair can just flow
exactly, yeah.
so nicely because we have this wind,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Suddenly, like you're just thinking about that yeah. in a gratitude way, and then mm. you're just going like the anxiety slowly like removes itself
yeah.
because you didn't like you're putting the power on. Gratitude and something else versus
yeah.
like, oh, why is this like, why? I could have been like, oh, why is yeah. my hair being blown around? Like, it's so
exactly,
annoying.
Yeah.
And then like, I'd be in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
That's kind of how I feel like, honestly, with photography too. Like whenever like I actually start taking pictures of like a model or like anyone, I honestly, I never really feel anxious or like, cause I'm never really even like going for like the shot. Cause mm-hmm. I'm kind of relying on what's happening in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of, again, noticing it. But like, it's funny cause I feel like that's how like I even like saw the camera, like the viewfinder, it was just like a tight space that
yeah.
it looks through. And I would bring it up to my head and I felt like secure because everything that was going on here, like I control the composition. I control like what I focus on. Like I control like what I, you know what I mean? And I feel mm-hmm. like, even now, like that's, and I feel like that's what would bring me, like why I started loving it so much, because like I had control, like,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like all people, we want control in our lives.
Yeah.
We want to control something, you know what I mean? And it's, I think for all people to be healthy, we need to control something, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, and we want to control how we look and stuff. And I feel like that was like my way of like finding like control in my life as
mm-hmm.
a kid, was controlling like what I put out into the world creatively. So like I would literally like be obsessed with Instagram because like that's how I would use that Instagram as a platform to create the dream life that I wanted, because
likewise.
When I was I was like in Georgia and like I felt like I was completely isolated, like in Georgia the country for like
yeah.
listeners
yeah.
I felt like I was completely isolated.
Some people don't even know that's a country.
Yeah, the most people like, I had to like confirm yeah but like I felt like completely isolated from the world. I really had no
wow.
friends, like I felt very like, you know, I wasn't in school, so I genuinely had like no like things that were defining my life.
Mm.
So I feel like that's why I kind of started like picking up like the camera, and like I was actually just using my phone, but I feel like that's when I found inspiration to online, like on Pinterest and like on YouTube, of like 80s and 90s photography. So like, I feel like that was my way of like finding like, okay, this is my own little world. I get to control it. I get to control exactly what's happening in the camera, the viewfinder. And even now, like I don't like makeup, hair, outfit,
yeah.
location. Like when it comes to like a picture, like I do want to have control over everything, because that's just how like I work in a way. But at the same time, of course, like now that I'm collaborating, I'd love to like also give space to other people to do what they want to do. And
yeah.
I think that's the beauty in collaboration.
How did you get over any kind of fear of reaching out to people to collaborate?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's models, hairstylists, makeup
yeah.
artists, people that could end up becoming like a team. Sounds like you
mm-hmm.
kind of work that way as well now. Like,
yeah.
Or like at least like trying to build something
out.
How did you go about that? Because I can imagine someone listening right now, maybe they are freelancing right now
yeah.
and they're past the point of like picking that thing up
yeah,
but they're like, oh, like yeah, I've always wondered, like I would love to like shoot with this model, but I'm kind of scared to reach out to them on Instagram, or I would love to shoot with this
yeah.
content creator in mm-hmm. general, but I don't know what to say. Like, can you share that
yeah.
process of how you like dabbled
mm-hmm.
into that?
Definitely I find inspiration in interviews and people that have made it
mm.
and watching what they did before, because like, you know, most people that are successful, like even like Lana Del Rey, say
mm-hmm.
she didn't release her first album. She was in her late 20s.
Yeah.
And before that, she for 10 years tried to make it work in the music industry
right.
and she couldn't. You know, Angelina Jolie, she filmed so many movies that did not, you know,
yeah.
take off until she got that one. So many people. And I would say, honestly, 99% of the people, I mean, Florence Welch, Florence from The Machine,
mm-hmm.
she, I mean, you can tell like I love, she,
yeah,
her
love
first
it.
Audition, you know, to work, to like play in a club or not sure, was in the bathroom,
right?
Because you know there was good acoustics, and she said she has a band, and she didn't even have a band yet. So like I would say that 99% of the people that have made
it. Wait, quick question: she pitched someone in the bathroom?
She said that she like pitched, like she like sang in the bathroom as an audition because
to
she could,
like
I think a, to like a manager of like a bar or something where she wanted to sing.
Okay.
And then she said that she had a band and she didn't even have a band.
Okay.
Yet. So like, you know, I would just say that 99% of the people that have made it, they did not know what they were doing, and they just loved something and they try to like do everything they can to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And only now they made it. But, you know, like it's not like a mystery that most, you know, success stories, they come from like from random things. And I would say the second thing too is like understanding your work. But like I know like what I do is like not bad in a way. And like
I think that's the biggest thing. I know we were talking about the other day when we were you really try to humble yourself. And I do think I feel like this is the best part too. It's like, wow, it's important to always stay grounded and humbled. And I do think that is the big difference between people. Again, I come from like an athlete mindset. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest difference between people that stay number one and people that never get there.
Yeah.
It's because people who are number one in the world, like tennis, a big one, they never believe that they're too good.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's so important.
And that's the humbling part, right? Because they continue to train as if they're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing. It's like something I learned when I was younger that helped me with the confidence was actually acknowledging that I was the shit at what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mom, I come from obviously Asian heritage, mm-hmm. and in Asian culture, it's very not ideal to kind of amp yourself up like that.
Same in Russia.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure my Russian coaches would definitely be like, humble yourself.
Literally,
like,
the whole like hemisphere of like the Eastern world. Yeah, don't, you're not.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where I learned at a young age, which benefited me. Again, it's not for everyone, mm-hmm. but something I learned was actually being able to walk around and knowing that the shit that I was actually really good at, to own that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But continue to never forget mm-hmm. that someone's like chasing your position or someone's chasing to get ahead of you. The moment you get too comfortable, mm-hmm. you're like going right back to where you started.
Yeah,
that's the humbling part. Whereas like mm-hmm. I would never walk around and actually be like, oh, I'm the fucking shit, you know?
Yeah.
But to know that internally, like your work is like, damn, my work's actually really good. I can actually capture that while we're stopping traffic in
it's
New
like
York,
yeah
you know?
And it's like with me, it's like I know it's good, but at the same time, the way that I think about it is funny, but to me, like in the end, it's just photos, it's just photography,
right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
It's not that serious.
Yeah, it's not anything in life, like in the end, like, and I always say this too, like, what's the point of literally doing anything in life if you're not, you know, being a good person?
Yes.
You're not being a good person to other people.
Yes.
And I feel like with me, like even like, yeah, like I could take like a good image, but at the same time, like, what is it for, you know what I mean? So I feel like that kind of helps me kind of stay home, you know, grounded in a way too, because like I do what I do, I love what I'm doing, like I might be good at it, but at the same time I know that mm-hmm. that's not more important than, you know, just, you know, being a good human being. Yeah. And I feel 100%. Like that kind of keeps you grounded again, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. even like going on about like success and finding success in the industry, and like you know, like, and like even like particularly here in the United States, what I've noticed is so many people become so obsessed with that, and then they see that they're good at something and then they completely chase that, like I'm so good at this, and like watch me do it, you know, and then they really never even get to number one because they already think they made it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, like in the end, I don't think you need to have this sense of like, I made it, I didn't make it. For me personally, like, I feel like I made it because I'm just doing what I like to do.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? I don't think I make it because like the shots are good or anything.
Yeah.
I don't think I made it because I'm shooting with this person. No, I think that like, I'm just doing what I love to do, and I don't think that I need to have a label on it as to if I made it or not.
I agree with you. And it's for me tough in the business world, because I feel like I had a conversation with someone very recently where they were, like, I was personally kind of making comments about how I get annoyed about people being superficial on the internet, mm-hmm. trying to show a very curated life.
Mm-hmm.
And the person was like, well, aren't you trying to do the same? Like, you curate your feed.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, actually, because I started content creation when I had no idea what I was doing mm-hmm. with a Canon camera. It was like a DSLR that was gifted through my dad's work, and mm-hmm. he gave it to
mm-hmm.
me. And, you know, I didn't know shit. Like, mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. like, why is it so bright? Because obviously there's exposure. Like, I was not good at taking
I'm
photos.
I'm still like that, yeah.
You know, I'm like in Laguna Beach. I'm like, this isn't working, you know? And I started because I was living in California in a very creative environment, and I realized so many people doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I like start to document my life?
Yeah.
Right. And over time, what I fell in love with was a lot of photos I would saw kind of very German inspired mm-hmm. photographers mm-hmm. or German based photographers, and very film like mm-hmm. captures mm-hmm. and grainy images. Mm-hmm. And I started to edit it in similar ways. And this is where the person's like, oh, like, aren't you being very curated and showing different parts of your lifestyle? And I'm mm-hmm. like, I mean, I do think I show certain parts, but I noticed that I never hide like the rawness of who I am. Like, I swear on this podcast, like, I don't hold back from being who I am, because there is no like goal, like, I want to make this much money in this podcast, I want to make this much money in my agency. And like, again, like I tell you, like, I'm not like a, you know, photographer by any means, but like, no, similar to you, like I shoot just because it's like I enjoy it, right? Mm-hmm. There's no curation of like a logical curation of trying to be something, you're or not, being yeah. like, oh, I want to be number one in the charts, or mm-hmm. I want to be like, I'll feel like really happy when I'm 30 years old and I have yeah. this car in my garage. Exactly, and you know, it's yeah. like those things. And I will admit, like, I think it is heavy in America. Yes, mm-hmm. for sure. In terms of that mentality, especially yeah. in Miami, having met there, like mm-hmm. Miami culture is very definitely. Like superficial. Definitely, LA yeah. as well. I lived there. But I think that's what I love about being able to be in business and arts mm-hmm. is I meet a lot of people like yourself who mm-hmm. actually just enjoy the fucking craft. Yeah, like shooting yeah. the image, mm-hmm. like kind of being, you know, yeah. random like we are, mm-hmm. You know, and how we met up like that. I think I don't get that as much in the business world because some people are so trying to aim for very specific goals and tying their identity to that. How do you set goals as a creative mm-hmm. without tying your identity to that? Because I think that's mm-hmm. something I do for myself too. Of course, I think to move the needle forward in anything you do, definitely, yeah. you have to have goals. You have to have a direction.
Oh, definitely.
But at the same time, right, understanding how to separate yourself from whether you get the outcome or not.
Yeah.
What's your process like
as a creative? Yeah, that's a really good question. I completely agree with you. Like, I feel like moving forward and like mm-hmm. having that direction is like so important. Like, that's like such an important part of me. Like, that's also kind of what I've noticed even too. Like, I mean, you see, I literally reach out to so many people. I'm mm-hmm. like always reaching out. So like,
yeah, by the way, yeah. how many, you said this the other day, how many agencies or I forget, it was either agencies, yeah, agencies or someone yeah. that you reached out to in order to like basically get your foot yeah. in the door as a photographer?
Oh yeah. How so many? I reached out to like literally more than like 100, like I won't say like 100 agencies, like the amount of emails I've sent, the amount of artists I sent. I texted Taylor Swift.
No
I texted
way.
Selena Gomez. Yeah, I texted anyone that I could even think of, I could even perhaps work with. I reached out to them saying, can I work with you? Because like if they'd like to, they won't. If they won't, they won't. Yeah. You know what I mean? And guess what? Like, I know I can take, and now, like, you know, I'm getting better too with image making. Like I know that someday I will be working with like some people. You know what I mean? It's like, for me, it's like, that's kind of how I'm like, I think it's a part of it is just being fearless. And also, again, once you find self-stability and mm-hmm. once you understand that these factors, these external factors don't define you, mm-hmm. then you're able to have complete control over it. And with me, like, to answer that question, I know that no matter who I collaborate with, mm-hmm. who I work with, if I don't take another picture another day, mm-hmm. I know that like I'm content and I'm happy with my life. Mm. So that allows me to now just reach out to everyone and everything yeah. and see where I can work and like see what I can do. But again, I think it's just having balance, not tying to your identity. And I feel like by not tying to your identity, you're able to kind of look at it from a more objective standpoint. That also helps you, like looking at your work from an objective standpoint, is right. because you understand that where you can work and what markets you can work with mm-hmm. and kind of creative you actually yeah. are.
Is that, you know, actually, has that helped you, for example, understanding the market you want to work mm-hmm. with? You mentioned that, like, for you, I feel like it is kind of with a lot of models and mm-hmm. like kind of in that realm, like where you're kind yeah. of documenting or like mm-hmm. very just like interesting people that can kind of tell a story. How do you set goals in that regard of like, mm-hmm. okay, this quarter or this year, my goal is to be able to do 10 collaborations. Yeah. And like, how do you track that, or like, how do you that. You know what I mean? Because yeah. again, either way, I think as creatives, while we are more free flowing mm-hmm. and more, you know, like go with the flow, mm-hmm. there are certain like pillars that we have yeah. to set mm-hmm. in order to feel like we're making progress.
Yeah, I would say that I don't have pillars in terms of like working with this agency or this, because right. that genuinely I feel like as a creative is very hard and kind of like, I don't know if that's a very possible task, because you never know like if they're, you know, what's going on their side, you yeah. know, on their end. But I feel like with me, it's about creating a connection and then seeing where it can take you. So like, even when I first moved to Atlanta, like I reached out to just models that were doing freelance, they weren't signed, and mm-hmm. I worked with them. And then maybe one of their friends saw me work and they found me through them, or an agency saw me work with them, and then I met the model and the model wants to work with me again.
Yeah.
And now, like, you know, there's one model that, you know, is not helping me with styling. So it's yeah. like, I feel like with me, it's like just about finding anywhere that I can find a connection and seeing in a way how far that connection can take yeah. me. So like, even like, you know, doing a collaboration with somebody and then seeing like if I can work with them again, or if she like tells one of their friends and I can work with them. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's my approach. I feel like my approach to getting myself into the door is mm-hmm. very fluid. Mm-hmm. Like, I want it to be as if like I've been here forever kind of vibe. And that's kind of funny, because I feel like even like in a couple years, it's going to look like, you know, I've been here. But yeah, I would say right. it's very fluid and very much like seeing anywhere you can like go and reaching out to, you know, anyone you can,
yeah,
and fluidly kind of like working with just as many people, and again collaborating. Yeah, money if you're truly successful, you know, money will come, you know, someday. And I feel like with me, also being creative, I don't really focus on business, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but like in a way it's been good because I haven't focused on business and I've just been able to collaborate like at my own expense, and like I'm grateful to have another job.
Yeah.
And I think that's also like helped me a lot so much having another job.
Right.
And I feel like because of it, I haven't been like focused on, you know, making money from photography, and hence I've been able to collaborate. And now it's like picking up even more. So now like all these collaborations are actually can make me money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yes, you have like worth and your work is good, but like you never feel like you're too good for anything or anyone in a way. Whenever I work with any model, any person, like any stylist, makeup artist, I see their max potential because that's what I see in myself. So in a way, like I see max potential myself to be an amazing photographer, but I see that in every single person I work with. So like any model I work with, I'm like, you should do this and these campaigns. I see you working with these big houses. Like a makeup artist, like, you know, let's make a book together. Let's like create looks like with hair. Like you should do movies and big movie sets and we can make a book together. You know what I mean? For me, like everything, any person has that potential of creating history. And I feel like that's how I look at any collaborations.
And I love that you said that at the end too. It's like any person has potential to make history, you know, or to create something 50 years from now can be remembered the way you remember like Peter Lindbergh's like photographs and like things like that. And I think that is such a refreshing mindset because, again, I think not many people have that as much today. Like, so, and oftentimes it's just because it's easy to get stuck in the conventional corporate mindset, or just the mindset of like, oh, I'm 25 now, like it's kind of too late or whatever. And again, a lot of my listeners are roughly around that age, but I'm always saying like it is never too late.
Oh,
I don't think it's an exaggeration at all. I mean, I think any like if there's any like 19-year-old listening right now,
I mean, I'm 19 years old,
is great time to like start anything, because I've always said it, like even if you're in college, I use that time to learn how to figure out why the camera was too bright. I was figuring that out. And that's why you see the photos I have today, because I picked up a camera, went to Laguna Beach, had no idea what I was doing with this camera, but only because I was curious. And also I had free time.
Yeah.
You know, time that was legitimately free. I was in school. I was a student. So I could use all that time while it wasn't breaking the bank, you know, or while it wasn't costing me money, because it's like now today's people have to choose between like, okay, work or like picking this up, right? But then I was like a student, so I was like doing that plus like figuring out camera and figuring out like exploring the passion of content creation.
Again, like I feel like that's why it's so important to like find inspiration like in your story, just like I mean, like even like I don't know why I just thought of like Julia Child, you know, like that, like Julia and Julia, that like movie. Every single like person that's made it, like, you know, they've all like had this like really funny unconventional way of making it. And again, it's like that finding inspiration in other people, and like, you know, if you're interested in something, you know, find it people that have made it and see their story and explore it, because 99% of the time it's going to make you realize like that I'm at the same position, if not better. I can do exactly what they did, if not better. Like, we as people, we have so much power, honestly, and especially like living here in the States. I feel like like really backtracking back on your question about like, you know, like what, you know, seeing the world and what has helped me is that I've met so many amazing models, photographers back like in Russia and Georgia, the country, that are amazing, but they just, they simply will so much harder for them to find like success because they're not here. And they look at the United States and they're like, oh my God, like if I was in the United States, and hence so many people that have made it here in the States, a lot of them are immigrants, you know what I mean? Because I feel like you, you see America as an opportunity, you know what I mean? You're like these things, like even being on a podcast or everything, is an opportunity that's rare, and you take it and you go with it and you see where it can go. And it's really like, you're so forward thinking. It's not something that just comes to you. It's something that you appreciate very, very, very much. And I feel like traveling my whole life, like being in the mountains of Georgia, you know, seeing the people that live in the village, after coming back here to the States and being in New York City, you know, meeting you who has like her own podcast. This is not just something that happens, like a podcast. Like, this is an opportunity for me, and this is something that's cool, and this is something that's a very rare thing in this world, you know what I mean? Not everyone has the opportunity to sit down on a couch and talk. People have to work 99% of the time. So in essence, like, I feel like even I always say, like, if you're born here, like, it is a privilege, no matter how financially, we all go through problems and we all go through, but at the same time, like, you have to understand that you have so many privileges, you know. And I feel like it's so easy to, as artists also, to, you know, feel like you're victimized and feel like you're a victim. But at the same time, we are all victims of something. So I, like, how I view it is that I choose to kind of not really focus on that, because I choose to focus on what I have you know, with me in terms of like what I can be grateful for and to really pursue that as much as I can. So yeah, I didn't even grow up conventionally. Like, you know, if my family didn't have enough money or if I felt unstable my whole life or if I felt like I couldn't do this or that, I chose to see that, okay, but you know what? I do feel comfortable doing this and let me do this as much as I can. And I feel like that's kind of what I would say like for artists or anybody starting out is that like we all are privileged in so many ways.
Final question. It's something I ask every guest on the show, but in reflecting on your upbringing, your life, your journey as a creative and not going in many conventional paths like most people do, what would you say makes you feel fulfilled and what fulfills you in life?
I knew this was the question. I was like, what fulfills me? People, of course, like people always fulfill me, but I just genuinely love, like, I like giving opportunities and it sounds weird, but I feel like my whole life I haven't been given a lot of opportunities, or even if when I, you know, the little opportunities that I have been given, I've really took and ran with it. So right now, even like, you know, when I work and stuff, I just love to give people opportunities and it makes me feel happy because again, I see the potential in so many people. So again, like it fulfills me to see other people succeeding. It genuinely just makes me feel good because I know exactly where so many people are coming from. I understand that like if somebody's putting effort into something, they want to be appreciated for it. I feel like I want to make people feel seen. You know what I mean? That's what makes me like feel fulfilled. Yeah, and I have two cats.
So. Oh, that's so cute.
That makes me feel fulfilled too.
I love that. I love that. Wow, Tim, you are definitely like very advanced for a 19-year-old. I'm so excited to see everything you do and just very excited to see, you know, your path as a photographer, as a creative, and over the next few years. I know I've been encouraging you to come to New York. I think it's a great great city to be in for that industry, but where can everyone find you? Share your Instagram if anyone wants to like check out your work and maybe people out there who want to collaborate with you. Mm-hmm. Like, where can they reach you?
I actually just made my website. I sat in a coffee shop for 9 hours, hunched over, trying to make it. It's Timofey Abel, T-I-M-O-F-E-Y, Abel.com. I'm actually going to be based in Atlanta now. We're moving in May. So I'll be working out of Atlanta and traveling to New York as much as I can. Yeah, my Instagram and my website is my name. I got really lucky with the username.
Yay.
Yeah.
Super awesome. Yeah. I'll link it in the show notes. And
thanks so much, Emily. Thanks so much. Woo. This was so fun.
And that was all for today's episode with Timofey Abel. I hope you guys enjoyed this different perspective and someone I've never interviewed someone who is this heavily in the arts field and also with someone who's so young and has such a unconventional background. You know, as he shared on the podcast, he was homeschooled since ninth grade and he's 19, not going the college route, and pretty much is just already full on in the real world. And for me, it was just a reminder to, you know, to keep doing what I'm doing and to enjoy the beauty of creativity and art and why I started this podcast and everything I do right now in the first place. And as always, I hope this episode, amongst many others, continue to inspire you in different ways, gives you guys inspiration to try different things, whether it's in your career or friendships or dating or whatever. As always, I really appreciate when you guys share it with me over Instagram DMs, just letting me know that this episode resonated with you heavily, or just whatever episode it is or whatever framework it is. I always enjoy chatting with you guys on a personal level. So please don't be a stranger. The Instagram links, including mine, the podcast, and Tim's, are all linked in the show notes. And with that being said, that is all I have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will chat with you all in the next episode.